This show is part of the Pod Tyrant Network. For more podcasts, interviews, and content, visit podtyrant.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who I'm disappointed is not the 13th Doctor, Adam Farmer.
I'm not the 13th Doctor, but I might be the 14th. I still need to work through some details.
I don't know, I had you pegged for the 13th. I'm really, you know.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It was pretty disappointing not to see my face show up at the end of Wimbledon. Not going to lie, I was kind of sitting there on the edge of my seat expecting the big news to drop and me to be whisked away in my TARDIS from that moment forward.
I thought the tip-off was, you know, Capaldi, you know, he was starting to wear the hoodie with the suit coat, and I was like, oh, they're tipping us off. Next Doctor, Adam Farmer.
I gotta say, I was stoked to see the 13th Doctor walking through the woods with the hoodie up. That was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, still the hoodie, although definitely a different outfit. There's a lot to talk about, Adam. We have a lot to talk about today.
But there's... a lot has happened, right? I think it was our last episode we talked about when we thought a big reveal would take place. And you said August, I said September. And here we are 2 weeks later and we already have the news.
Yeah, we were both wrong. Although I was closer.
By a lot. You were closer. both of us went over though, and on Price is Right, that doesn't count.
True. I mean, there's not a lot. I guess I'm wrong. There's not a lot to talk about. There's one thing to talk about, which is a big thing, big deal.
Yeah, it's huge, right? This is the part of our fandom that seems pretty darn unique, and we're ready for it, right? It's here. We need to talk about it.
It's crazy because our podcast kind of started right before Capaldi.
Yeah.
So we went through this once already. We went through the whole speculation, who's going to be the next Doctor, the announcement, and now 3 years later, it's happening again. It's like you have to wait 3 years for these big events. So this is one of those like huge Doctor Who events. It like hit me completely unexpected. I got I saw something online where it was basically like. I think it was something maybe you posted, and it was basically like, hey, they've announced the announcement, and yeah. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I'm thinking, you know, it's whatever, you know, August, September, whatever. And then I look and it's in 2 days. It's yeah. From the time that I saw the post, it was I had 2 days to mentally prepare for this. I'm like, well, I'm not ready for this.
No, and that was the craziest thing about it, at least for me, that Friday afternoon where I am, all of a sudden I start to see the reports coming in that, oh, wow, they announced that they're going to announce it. And I was like, okay, cool. We have a little bit of time probably before it comes up. No, it was Friday they announced it. Saturday we could sit and mull over what was happening, toss out some ideas, some suggestions, maybe start to worry a little bit as far as what this means. And then Sunday, by 11:30, the announcement was made. 11:30 Eastern time, the announcement was made. And yeah, it's been a whirlwind. It really has. And I can't imagine how the 13th Doctor is feeling right now.
And it came at a time when, like, my other fandoms, the other things that I'm into, there was a lot going on as well. So, like,
yes, there is.
I'm a big Disney fan. D23 was going on in Anaheim. On that Friday, and it was going Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I was following kind of all the new, you know, Disney Parks news that was coming out, as well as the new like behind the scenes reel they did for The Last Jedi, which is the big Star Wars movie that's coming out in December, which I hadn't seen a lot about up until this point. So it was like all that stuff happening. Saturday, I was really focused on the whole Last Jedi thing, but I knew the Doctor Who announcement was coming on Sunday, but I didn't have a lot of time to even like figure out when the announcement was going to happen. Like what time, you know, what time is it happening in England? What does that mean for where I live? And so I was just like, you know what? I'm not even going to stress about it. I'm just going to let it hit me when it hits me. When the news hits me, no matter how it hits me, if I accidentally come across it on Twitter, if I see a video online, that's how I'm going to find out. I'm not going to like really seek out the news on this, which is kind of a weird thing for me, but I was just already overwhelmed with so much other things.
Nice. Nice. See, I was the exact opposite. I was not able to, I know there was some confusion here in the US as far as how to go about watching it live. So I was glued to Twitter. I was refreshing my timeline constantly, waiting for the first update. As soon as I saw the name, it was like, okay, I'm going to put this to rest right now. I'm going to do what I'm doing right now, and then later on I'll follow up on it. But it was hard to see the name and not be able to immediately start digging into all the implications and what other shows they've been on and what else they've covered and try to get a sense of who they are and what they're bringing to the Doctor. But yeah, so, it was crazy.
So what was the, so I, like I said, I kind of had unplugged from it. So was there a place that you could watch it? Did BBC America do any kind of thing where you could be watching live? What was the way to find out?
Honestly, I still am not sure. I know that it was supposed to be, so how I saw it play out is it was supposed to be at the end of the men's final for Wimbledon. Federer plowed through that super quickly. There was all sorts of conversations on Twitter about how Federer wanted to get to the Doctor announcement, and so he just crushed the match and rolled through everything. But then there was this massive delay from what I could gather. And when the finals ended, everybody was expecting the announcement to take place right there, and it didn't. And so there was this huge delay, and I'm still not sure how everybody, at least stateside, was able to watch it. I don't think it was available streaming, so I do think you had to be at your TV. But honestly, I just waited for the announcement videos to post on Twitter, and then snagged them from there.
Okay, so is that's basically how it went down for you? Something came across Twitter, and was it the name you saw first? Did you actually get to see the video? Was like, did the reveal happen to you in the video, or did you already know who it was before you saw the video?
No, I saw the video, or I saw the name come through first. I think I wish I could give credit to the Twitter handle that dropped the name on me. But it was just, here's the name, and then like hearts and happy faces. And so I just cached that name in my brain and then dug for the video afterwards.
Huh. So neither of us got to see it the way it was intended to be rolled out.
No, we didn't. We didn't get the massive reveal that we might have hoped for.
Yeah, I blame my podcast co-host, but not you, from a different podcast. I got a text from, of all people, Teresa Delgado, who is my co-host on Star Wars Bookworms, who is not a big Doctor Who fan. She did watch the show. She kind of stalled on it. I think she now has a reinvigorated interest because of this casting. But so she's not the type to kind of be searching for the news. She just happened to see it come up on Twitter. And I was, like I said, I had kind of unplugged and I was busy doing other things. And all of a sudden I get this text from her and it was basically just like, OMG, the Doctor's a girl. That's how I found out.
Nice.
A text from my Star Wars podcast co-host. And there was a little piece of me that was mad at her because I was just like, that's not how I wanted to find out. And I think she just thought I knew already. So immediately, because I didn't know the name, all she said was that it was a girl. Didn't know the name, so I still wanted to kind of be surprised. So I'm like, okay, don't look at anything. Go try to find this video. So I went to YouTube, to the Doctor Who channel, and watched the video immediately after I got the text from her. So it was cool. Nice. Though the video was really cool, I thought.
Yeah, even the announcement of the announcement video was really well done. With the key disappearing, it set up really the actual announcement, and that was really well done. If I wish I could go back and watch it without knowing who was being announced, because I tried to play it through in my mind as far as at what point would I have noticed that this is different. I mean, we joked about in a previous episode, I had no idea that the doctor, the master was wearing a mask, right? I don't know at what point I would have noticed. Was it when the key appeared in the hand? Would I have been like, wait a second, that looks different? Or would I have been totally oblivious until the hoodie went back? I wish I had that moment to go back and actually experience that reveal.
I actually didn't 100% believe what I heard until I saw it.
Really?
Because, I mean, like I said, the text came from someone who is not a big Doctor Who fan. So I thought maybe she heard something, or, you know, maybe she got it wrong. So there was a little part of me that was just like, you know what? I'm going to watch this video like I don't know. And let me see where, like, kind of what you were looking for. Like, where would I have kind of figured it out? I think the hand would have given it away for me. I was watching, you know, as they start the shot where she's walking through the woods and you see from behind. And they purposely put on kind of the clothing that's kind of bigger and you can't really see a shape. And I'm looking, okay, even the walk is kind of manly. You know, this is not, they're definitely trying to keep this, you know, mysterious. But then they show the hand, and then to me, the hand was a dead giveaway that it was not a man's hand.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think that watching it now, but I'm curious if in the moment, if I hadn't known, because there were, I mean, honestly, I feel like there were a ton of misdirects leading up to it. I wonder if I would have in the moment placed the size, the shape, whatever you want to say, of the hand, or if I would have just been like, oh, okay, it's a hand. And I personally probably think I would have been more wrapped up in the key. I feel like we're dancing around it though. Should we just come out and say that Jodie Whittaker has been announced as the 13th Doctor?
Sure. It's not like we're breaking it.
I know. I feel like we're kind of just like dancing around it.
I think we're trying to duplicate the anticipation again. You know, like we anticipated it for so long. So we're trying to hold on to that anticipation a little bit longer.
Yeah. Just call me that annoying Twitter account that just broke the news right there and ruined everything for everybody. There's no more anticipation. We have the announcement. We have the name. We know the individual, Jodie Whittaker. How are you feeling?
I feel really good right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I don't know much about her. I haven't seen her in anything. I was trying to think if I had ever seen, because when she pulls back the hood and you see her face, she instantly looked recognizable to me. I was like, I feel like I've seen her before, so she must be in something.
Because so, she's the doctor.
Maybe.
You do recognize her.
But I immediately, like you do, went to Google and IMDb and all that stuff, and tried to identify where I may have seen her before, and I really couldn't find anything that I had seen her in. And I did see that she was in Broadchurch, but I had never watched Broadchurch yet. So I was like, well, that's, now I guess it's time for me to watch Broadchurch. I have enough time to watch through, you know, I don't know how much of Broadchurch she's in. I know she's in at least season one. So, yeah, but I really am not very familiar with her at all.
Yeah, and see, that's the exact same thing. I think I've been asked that question quite a few different times just in the past couple of days. People that I work with, people that I know, people that I interact with know that I love Doctor Who. Doctor Who's a great, fun show. They know I like to talk about it. And the very first question people have asked me right now is, have you watched Broadchurch? It's like, no, I made the mistake and I watched Grace Point because I wanted to watch David Tennant, but Grace Point was accessible to me at the time. Now I really do need to go back to and watch Broadchurch. Thankfully, everybody's told me that, hey, there is some twists in Broadchurch that aren't in Grace Point. So it's not like you're rewatching the exact same thing, but Yeah, everybody mentions that I need to watch Broadchurch now to get a better feeling of Whitaker and who she is. Also, Attack the Block, which is a movie that I've wanted to see for a while, but I guess she's in that as well.
Yeah, she's in that. I haven't seen it either. That was one of the movies that when The Force Awakens was announced and John Boyega was going to play Finn,
yeah,
everyone was like, well, go watch Attack the Block. That's kind of the big movie he was in. At the time, I had always had the intention of going and watching it just to see John Boyega. Ended up not doing it. So I haven't seen that either. I actually thought you had seen Broadchurch. This is surprising to me. So I did watch the first episode of Broadchurch last night.
Okay. You're doing better than I am.
And it's interesting because I really liked it. I really liked the first episode of Broadchurch. And it's like this who's who of Doctor Who.
Yeah, it definitely is.
David Bradley's in it. Obviously, David Tennant's in it.
Arthur
Darvill's in it. The woman that plays the other detective alongside of David Tennant. I don't remember the actress's name, but she was in the 11th Hour. So yeah, there's a lot. And now we have the 13th Doctor, who's a major character in it. So basically, Broadchurch was made up of cast members from Doctor Who.
Yeah, which the moment that someone said, oh, she's from Broadchurch, it was like Chibnall, right? Like, there is a direct correlation for Chibnall and now the 13th Doctor, which I'm pretty stoked about that. The fact that there is already this relationship that he might have, if some reports hold true, encouraged her to audition for the part of the 13th Doctor, that really she is the one that he's wanted all along. I mean, take it with a grain of salt, right? Because everybody's pushing for it right now. But that excites me about this casting. There's a lot of things that excite me about this casting, but that in particular, I think, is pretty cool that he already has some familiarity with who she is and what she brings to a show that she's on.
Right. There's not going to be any kind of growing pains or awkward, you know, like, oh, you know, let me figure out this director or let me figure out this actor. You know, they have already worked together significantly. So
yeah,
that's only going to, you know, bode well for the production of season 11 of Doctor Who.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see how that even plays into the writing of the 13th Doctor, right? Because we've often said, like, with Capaldi and Moffat or any of the other writers as they write Capaldi, like, it seemed like Capaldi had so much more that he could give as the Doctor, but the writing never supported that. Maybe there's going to be, and maybe I'm overthinking it, maybe I'm viewing it more than for what it is, but maybe there's going to be this a little bit more of an understanding as far as how she can, what she brings to the Doctor, how she can portray the Doctor, and who her Doctor ultimately ends up being.
Yeah, and just based on the little that I saw, just the one episode I watched of Broadchurch, she definitely seems to be a good actor. But she doesn't scream Doctor when you're watching her in that part. Now, obviously, she's playing a role where she plays a mother. She plays the mother of, and this isn't really a spoiler because you find this out in the first episode, but basically her child has been murdered. So she's, you know, she's just... So far from what I've seen from her, she's playing a concerned mother, which is not the Doctor. So it's not something where I was watching like, oh, wow, I can really see this actress as the Doctor, because she was playing a completely different type of role. So I'm actually really curious to see what she brings to the role of Doctor Who, because what she did in Broadchurch, I don't think is any indication.
Yeah, into that, I'm curious what we would have thought of, let's say, Tennant, and going back and watching, if we would have watched him in some of the things that he was in prior to the Doctor, and then we found out that he was being cast as the Doctor, what would our thoughts of him have been then? Because didn't he do like the really weird Casanova movie? And I know like some of the things came after Doctor Who, where he was in Harry Potter, when he did the, what vampire movie did he do? That really weird vampire movie. But if like some of those things would have happened before he was the Doctor, I would be curious if we would have been like, oh dang, he's gonna be a good doctor. I don't know, but
yeah, and that's nothing against her, you know, I'm not saying it as a knock on her. It just, I think this is just gonna show her acting skills, where she can go from the role of, you know, playing a concerned mother to being this, you know, all knowing, all powerful, you know, time traveler. So I'm actually extremely curious to see her play that role. So let's talk a little bit about the look of the character. You know, we know who it's going to be. We don't know much about her. We've both admitted that. What did you think about the look of the character? I guess not only just in her own appearance, but even in the clothes that she was wearing.
Yeah, and that's where I'm a bit curious as well. Watching the announcement, I was torn. Is that weird Starscape hoodie that Capaldi used to wear, or is that a totally different hoodie?
I mean, I was looking at the whole outfit thinking it was very reminiscent of like what Capaldi wears, but it definitely wasn't the same.
Yeah, like there's something with the coat. It's more of a peacoat style coat, which is different than what Capaldi has ever worn. There was something about that hoodie though that stuck out to me. It was like the silverish things on the belly that it kind of stuck out to me, that it was the same starred hoodie. Could be totally off there. I like the getup. Like, I could totally cosplay in that getup at some point or another. I think I have each one of those pieces.
I'm like, I may be going to Dragon Con in August. I'm definitely going to New York Comic Con in October. I am fully expecting to see a ridiculous amount of people cosplaying, because she's got a pretty basic look, you know, so it's not going to be hard to mimic the look of the character. So I think, you know, you find yourself a pea coat and a black hoodie, there's going to be so many 13th Doctor cosplays at these conventions.
Yeah, I mean, it's some basics in a cosplayer's closet, right? Or any person's closet, for that matter. I don't know. I'm wondering if this is going to be the ultimate outfit, the costume that she ends up with. If so, hey, I think it's cool. I'm all about basic black and a pea coat.
Well, we actually already know.
Do we?
That it's not. Because she in an interview that she did, they did ask her.
You're right.
If it was going to be her costume, and she said no. So it is interesting. You know, we got kind of a holdover costume, I guess. And I think part of the costume, the purpose of it probably was to hide her gender for the video. So they were trying to find something that was kind of bulky, kind of hiding her shape. So, and I think the other purpose of it is they were trying to kind of mimic the look of Capaldi a little bit. Not that it's his clothes, because I don't think it is at all. I mean, we saw the shape that his clothes were in right before he regenerated. I guess he's got some extra outfits in the TARDIS, but I don't think we're seeing her in her clothes, but I don't think we're seeing her in Capaldi's clothes either.
Yeah, they don't look hobo-ish, right? And that's what his look has started to become. He's not necessarily the most put together doctor that we've had in a while. Her clothes definitely looked newer compared to some of the things that Capaldi would normally rock. But
and her shoes were a lot different too.
Yeah, her shoes were a lot different. I'm interested to see what it turns out. I jumped back to early April, where there was a tweet that was shared on our Facebook page of, it looked like a coat sleeve, really weird colors with buttons all over it. And supposedly the costume director for Doctor Who said that they were getting ready for the new costume. So I'm wondering if that is still a hint, or if that was just a really, really early misdirect. Again, considering that what you pointed out from an interview, that Jodie Whittaker has no idea what her or she doesn't know what her ultimate costume is going to be. So maybe that was a misdirect, But I don't know. I'm curious to see what it ends up as.
Am I wrong that her name never came up in the speculation?
I was trying to think back. I don't think it did. There were when it came up to a female filling the role of the doctor, other names were always the focus. Her name was totally new to me when I read it, and I honestly haven't gone back and looked at some of the things that I had saved or I had posted to figure out if it was included at some point.
It's funny that it almost seems like an obvious choice looking back. You know, that's Chibnall, the connection with Chibnall and the fact that she played a major character in Broadchurch and all the speculation that the doctor may be a woman. You would think people on that cast would have been the first that people would have looked to as possibilities. So I'm surprised we hadn't heard her name earlier. I don't remember it ever coming up. I know I was looking through the kind of the odds thing that everybody did that, what's his name? Chris Marshall was the top of all the time. And I mean, unless I just am completely forgetting, I don't remember even seeing her name on the list of the top 10.
Yeah. It was a new one to me. It came out of the blue. I do swear, though, that I heard a collective sigh of relief that Chris Marshall wasn't revealed in that moment. Only partially kidding. I know that some were pulling for him to be the doctor, but I did see quite a bit of conversation taking place on the social media that people were really hoping that his name didn't come up.
Yeah, I was happy. I probably would have taken just about anybody over Chris Marshall. I mean, nothing against the guy. Just like I had said when we were discussing this early on in the season, I just have only ever seen him in one thing, and I hated him in it. So that's really what, you know, colored my opinion of him.
So, out of curiosity, we talked about it a couple times. I did post some polls on Twitter and Facebook last night. Just to see, knowing that we know now, knowing that Jodie was announced as being the 13th Doctor, do you wish that they would have waited, or are you happy about the reveal early?
I think I would have been fine either way, because if they had waited, you know what? I'm leaning more toward, I'm happy that they revealed it early, because as much as I think it would have been cool to see a big reveal and not know who the actor/actress was going to be when Capaldi's regenerating and actually getting the reveal in the episode, it probably would have been a little underwhelming for me because I wouldn't have recognized her. And so I would have just been like, oh, but I wouldn't have had any sense of who she was or anything. So I actually like that they announced it early. So it gives me a chance to get to know the actress a little bit, do my research.
Yeah, that is, I didn't think about that, that aspect of it. When you have someone who could potentially be fairly unknown to fandom and having them all of a sudden appear, it could be a little bit anticlimactic, right? When it's just like, oh, wait, who is that? who is that now? And then finding you missing the rest of the episode or the last 2 minutes of the episode as you rush off to IMDb to figure out who the heck that person is. I never thought of it that way. I was in the boat until you just mentioned that, actually, that I wish they would have waited just so that it was more of a surprise. But you know what? That probably would have been really awkward. You've swayed me just with a couple words of wisdom, Aaron. My opinion has totally changed.
I think the other side of the coin, though, if I'm trying to convince you back to your initial opinion, is the fact that they did cast a woman, and that was such a very much speculated point on if that was going to happen, when it was going to happen. So I think that might have been kind of that big reveal, even though you may not have recognized her, just the fact that they went there. You're like, oh, wow, they did it. They actually cast a woman in the part of the doctor. Like, that could have still been a really cool reveal.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely would have been a cool reveal. That said, the excitement that I'm seeing right now getting stirred up as only three days ago that it was announced, I'm kind of leaning towards they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been cool in that moment, but now imagine the audience that they'll have for the Christmas special when the regeneration actually takes place. And I mean, we've talked about it before. Regenerations are special, right? You get to see this first introduction, and to be able to have an audience watching it the first time together, as opposed to maybe part of your audience watching it and then all of a sudden the others coming on afterwards and being like, oh, now we need to watch it too, after it's already taken place, to have so many fans tuning in or just general populace tuning in to see it happen. I'm starting to think they knew exactly what they were doing by announcing it so early.
Yeah, I think they knew exactly what they were doing. They're wanting to build up the buzz for the show, and I think this type of I mean, this is a huge deal for Doctor Who. I know we haven't really addressed the I mean, we're kind of talking about it like, oh yeah, the Doctor got cast, you know, it's a woman, no big deal, let's move on. This is a huge deal for this franchise. You know, they literally have had, you know, multiple actors play the Doctor, more than there have been numbers of Doctors, because we've had some of the Doctors have been played by more than one person. But we've had upwards of, you know, I don't know the number right off the top of my head, but, you know, 15 or 16 guys have played the Doctor. And they have all had a couple things in common. You know, they've all been white and they've all been dudes. And they broke the mold. That's, I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah, they did. And it is a huge deal. And there's no way possible that we could overlook it. And definitely not saying that this is all just a publicity stunt, because I think it is a heck of a lot more meaningful than just that. And I think some of the reactions of fans goes to show how meaningful this type of casting is and potentially can be. And that's not to say that everybody's looking at this in a positive way. I do know that there are some, for one reason or another, that aren't pleased with this casting. That said, there's the excitement and just the emotion that has already been tied up in this. Honestly, like, I'm getting goosebumps right now just talking about it. Just this, how meaningful this is. And honestly, to me, it kind of makes sense. Like, if any established character could go through a transition like this, it's the Doctor, right? Like, that's kind of the whole point of regenerations. Anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it's something that I think has been added as a possibility in recent years with Doctor Who. There was probably a time when fans of this show thought it was always going to be a male Doctor. Maybe they regenerate him. You know, I think the fact that the Doctor's been white all this time is more concerning too, that they haven't gone there yet. So I think we're going to see that probably in the near future as well, that they actually represent other races with the Doctor. But I think there are probably fans out there that they thought they were always going to have this version of the Doctor, and got comfortable with that idea. So I think there are people who aren't comfortable with the idea of this changing so much, and I've seen that backlash online. So it's, but I think, and I forget who said it, I think it was Colin Baker, actually, the actor who played the Sixth Doctor. And I don't know the exact quote, but he basically said, yeah, we're going to lose some fans because of this, but we're going to gain way more.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, I've seen, just taking a step back, I'm mumbling here, just taking a step back, I've seen so many people that I had no idea they even knew what Doctor Who was, just on social media, people that I'm connected with, who are now like tweeting things about Doctor Who because of this decision alone. And again, not that it's just about viewership, although it probably does come to play in the minds of some executives up there. But I think for fandom, it means a whole heck of a lot more than that. I think it is showing that, okay, this is a show that's looking to push some boundaries. And this is, in my opinion, a great change.
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with the change. I think, if I'm being 100% honest, I did get used to the formula. You know, I got used to the roles that the different characters on the show played, and I guess I just never, as I was watching through the years, never really imagined that the Doctor would ever be a woman. But then, as you know, things have happened in the recent past seasons with Missy. And with the other Time Lord that they showed that regenerated into a woman, you could start to see it coming. You're like, oh, okay, that's something I had never thought of. And me as a male, it wasn't something that was missing for me, that I was longing for myself to be represented, you know, with the Doctor, because I was already being represented. So it wasn't something I was looking out for. But when the idea started to come up where I'm like, oh, this is an eventuality, like this is going to happen eventually. You know, I am really excited for the storytelling potential, and the, you know, every Doctor we've gotten, although there have been similarities, have been so different from each other. And that's what makes this show interesting. And I'm just really excited to see what Jodie Whittaker can bring to the role. And it's more different than we've ever gotten, you know, you know, as different as Capaldi is from Matt Smith, Jodie Whittaker is going to be completely different from any of them.
Yeah, that completely different, completely different. I like how you mentioned the idea of representation. I think that is such a, I think for us, right? It you mentioned it, like it's difficult for us to understand that fully because of who we are and our identity at this point. That idea of representation is a little bit harder for us to fully grasp, but just watching, that's why I'm so thankful that so many fans were willing to share what this meant to them, because it helps to drive it home. Even there was a video of a 6-year-old girl who's just freaking out or got super excited, I'll just put it that way, when the reveal happened. Her mom or her dad was video recording on the phone. Those are the types of things. Just you're a father of a daughter, I'm a father of a daughter, and having different things like that where it's like, cool, okay, let's do this. It's definitely exciting, especially with a show that I thoroughly enjoy. I'm happy to have a part of it changing. It changes. It is going to be totally different than our Doctors of Eccleston and Tennant and Smith and Capaldi. But that's one of those things that I really loved, right? Like Doctor Who is about the story. And as long as they give the 13th Doctor an incredible story, I have no choice but to be on board.
Right. And I quick did, as I was searching for other roles that she had played to see if I could recognize her, I wanted to see what she looked like. You know, we saw the image of her as the Doctor, but I kind of wanted to see, you know, this actress and kind of see what she looked like. So I pulled up an image search for Jodie Whittaker and kind of scrolled through, you know, and she actually has had a lot of different looks. You know, you see her as the Doctor and she's got that kind of short, like bleached blonde hair. And so I was kind of like, oh, is that kind of how she always looks? Well, it's not. You know, she looks very much different in Broadchurch. She actually has much darker hair. And then I've seen, you know, I saw images of her with all different, you know, kinds of hairstyles and clothing and stuff. But the one thing that really stuck out to me, which I thought was so cool for me personally, and really what, like, I was already kind of like, oh, this is cool. But then I saw this image and it really got me on board just with her as an actress and as a person, is I found an image of her wearing a World Down Syndrome Day t-shirt.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted that.
And she was wearing the mismatched socks, which is another thing for Down Syndrome awareness. and being a father of somebody who has Down syndrome, to see this, her just as a person, supporting awareness for that was a huge deal for me.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like they've, on so many different levels, the Biebs, they did good. And whether it was an executive decision, if it was a Chibnall choice, whatever the case may be, I mean, from this point forward, I mean, Capaldi has one more episode. He has the Christmas special. I feel like we've all moved on from that already, which doesn't feel like we're doing him justice. But from that point forward, she is our doctor. And it's exciting times. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussion moving forward about what it means and what comes of it. But it is part of our fandom, and it's something that I fully intend on embracing moving forward.
And now we have the excitement of just kind of waiting to see how it happens. You know, that we've already seen Capaldi fighting the regeneration. We know he has a full, you know, Christmas special with David Bradley. So there's going to be a really cool adventure with the 12th and the 1st. And I think that's something to be really excited about. So we don't want to like completely look past that. But then we get to see, you know, kind of the events that lead up to him finally succumbing to his regeneration and becoming the 13th Doctor. And then all the potential story that comes along with a new Doctor, and we don't know who the new companion or companions are. You know, there could be one companion, there could be multiple companions like we got with this last season with Capaldi. You know, male, female, we don't know. So I think Nardole comes back, you know. There's still so many cool things to be excited about yet to be revealed. One thing I was thinking, because I was thinking about this, I'm like, what does the fact that the Doctor is now a woman, like, how does that change, you know, some of the story elements? And one thing that stuck out to me is the fact that the Doctor has always been a man and he's a time traveler. And, you know, time traveling into the future, no big deal. But traveling into the past, and we've seen it with companions, you know, there are time periods in the past where men are held in a much higher regard in certain leadership roles and things like that. And it'll be an interesting dynamic to see now as a female Doctor travels into the past, what struggles may come along with that, things that we've never thought about before because we always had just gotten used to it being a man.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've seen a couple conversations take place around that already. And we've seen something similar with Bill this past series, where situations going into the past that they weren't, whether it was Thin Ice or the Empress of Mars, where either her gender or her ethnicity came into play. It will be interesting. And honestly, that's one of those dynamics that I think is going to be super fun, knowing who the Doctor is as a person. And no matter what regeneration it is of them, whether it's Eccleston, Tennant, Smith, or Capaldi, there is this thread that flows through where they don't take crap from nobody. I'm kind of looking forward to some of those situations where the 13th Doctor can step in and say, excuse me, it doesn't matter, and kind of put people back in their place. I think that's going to be a really fun dynamic, depending on how it's handled, and really putting a lot of trust in Chibnall there to go about it the right way, right? We don't want this huge change to the Doctor to be just one of those like goofy story elements. There can be a lot of good things that come of this. And yeah, I think that's one of those, traveling back in time and playing with some of those historic truths that are back there.
Yeah. And I do hope they kind of treat this as it's no big deal. You know, I do expect them to weave the fact that the Doctor is now a woman into some of the storytelling, and that's, you know, to be expected, and I think that'll be really cool. But I hope it's not something where they turn it into like every single episode something happens where they're like, oh yeah, remember, she's a woman, she's a woman, she's a woman, you know, like,
right, right.
I hope they don't lean on that crutch too much and just kind of be like, you know what, this is something that should have happened, and it is a big deal, but let's not treat it like it's something you need to constantly remind the viewers of.
Yeah. So no, it will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. So
cool. Well, I feel like we've just gushed and touched on and announced and did all sorts of fun stuff with the announcement of the 13th Doctor. Any last remaining thoughts on that?
No, I think we'll have plenty more to talk about when it comes to her, and you know, in future episodes, and we can speculate. And yeah, I think more is revealed, and I'm sure we're going to get companion reveals in the near future, and you know, just with the Christmas special and kind of based on events that happened in there. So we're going to have all kinds of things to talk about. So I think for now, we are good.
Awesome. Yeah. For anybody listening, keep the conversation coming. Feel free to jump into Twitter or Facebook and let us know your thoughts. I know that quite a few have already done it, so keep it going.
So the other thing we wanted to do in this episode, it's kind of that we had planned to do a season review episode, and kind of the idea that would take up a whole episode. Well, then this announcement happened. Like we said, we were both kind of surprised by the timing of it. So we're going to kind of mash the two together. You know, we spent the time talking about the Doctor reveal. Now we want to spend the rest of the episode doing our season review, which may be a little shorter than it would have been, but we did want to at least get that in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we don't want to get any farther away from the end of Series 10. Or a series wrap up will include all sorts of rewatches to make sure that we know what we're talking about. So right now feels a good time, even if it is a little bit shorter, to wrap up Series 10, give some final thoughts, and then we can move off to other things.
Yeah, I was doing some preparation for talking about Season 10, kind of trying to think back through the episodes, where did they all fall, like what was my favorites, you know, kind of ranking them and figuring out if I was, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down across the entire season. I also listened back to some of our episodes of Bad Wolf Radio just to kind of see where we were wrong. Because, you know, you're doing a lot of speculation early on in the season. And, you know, we end up making predictions that turn out to be wrong, or maybe we make predictions that turn out to be right. So it was kind of interesting to listen back to the first couple episodes of Bad Wolf Radio relating to the season.
All those speculations, all those comments. I'm always so scared to go back and listen to older episodes. Even like, I even just went back and re-listened to our episode two episodes ago, and it was like, oh dang, what in the world am I saying? I can't go back and listen to those old things. I'm always off in left field and always throwing out all sorts of stuff that makes no sense.
We had talked about ranking the season, so you and I both actually did. We went back and ranked everything, just as a exercise of kind of reminding ourselves, I think, of the season as a whole. But it's funny because I look back through my rankings and it is a very good indicator of the path, the up and down path that this season took for me. And, you know, there's 12 episodes, and, you know, if I'm ranking them, my favorite episode of the season was the first episode. And my least favorite episode of the season was the second episode. So it was kind of this
nice
extreme, like, oh yeah, the season, you know, the first episode. And like I said, I listened back to our review of the pilot, and we were both on a high. We were on a Doctor Who high. I was laughing at myself how much I was in love with Bill. I was like, she's awesome. She's vulnerable. Like, I love how she, you know, she isn't, she's kind of like this emotional character, and she's very vulnerable. And then those are the things I complained about her the rest of the season. So, so yeah, nice. it was definitely a bit of a roller coaster season for me as a fan.
Yeah. I was surprised as I went back and just kind of took a look at the whole picture. I was surprised at how overall how well this series was done, which it's always so weird to me how in the middle of the series, as you're looking at an individual episode, it can feel like, wow, we're just hitting all sorts of bumps, and it's not as good as what I was expecting. It wasn't what I wanted, and all sorts of other dissatisfactions come to the surface. But as I step back and I look back on the series, considering all the things that we were presented and knowing that it was Capaldi's last series, I was surprised at how just overall how well done the series was. There's not all that many low episodes for me. You mentioned that the second one was your lowest ranked episode for you. I still thought that was a fairly good one. I mean, I hit bumps when we get to Pyramid at the End of the World and Lie of the Land. But really from there, it's pretty decent of a ride for me without too many variations of highs and lows.
Yeah, and I don't think we have time to kind of go through every single episode like we've probably done in past season reviews. But I think it would be interesting to kind of hit what were our highs and lows. Like, what was your favorite episode? What was the high point of the season for you?
Yeah, if I were to go back through my list and say, okay, this is the one, if I were to sit down tonight and say, I have to watch something of Series 10, the one that I would go back and watch is World Enough in Time. Second to last episode, the time dilation, Bill getting shot through the chest, Missy pretending to be the doctor, the creepy Mr. Razor, that by far is my favorite episode of the entire series. That is going to be the one that I look back at the series and I point to as I'm going to always want to go back and rewatch that episode.
Yeah, that was a solid episode. That was definitely in my top. That was in my top three. Like I had said earlier, the pilot was my favorite episode. And I think because it was such a good entry point for the character of Bill. And I did struggle with Bill as a companion throughout the season. You know, she wasn't my favorite. But that episode was the height of that character for me. I really enjoyed her introduction. I enjoyed kind of the situation that they introduced the doctor in, you know, where he's at this university and he'd been teaching there for 50 years and he was kind of like his new home base and he's got this vault that he's protecting and like all the things that they were introducing. And we had talked even in our review of that episode how that felt like almost like a soft reboot for Doctor Who, where this was an episode that could have served as the introduction of a new doctor. So I just really liked how they did that. And because of what ends up being a very important character who is a part of the pilot, is the foil, the bad guy that they're fighting against ends up being what saves the doctor in the end, which I think is an amazing kind of turn of events.
Yeah, there's definitely no knocking the pilot. Like you said, it felt like in the moment, just this incredible reboot of the series, all the introductions, the different lines that they were dropping. Yeah, I know that is still several people's favorite episode of the entire series.
Yeah, and oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask. So that's your high point. Where would you put the what would you put dead last at the end of your list of rewatching of Series 10?
I think A Smile, it was probably only because as a standalone, it was the weakest for me. I actually, kind of with you, Lie of the Land and Pyramid at the End of the World were pretty weak episodes. The whole Monk trilogy for me just fell flat big time. Extremis was actually a really good episode and kind of got me excited for that trilogy. And then where they went with it, it just really fell flat for me. So those two episodes were probably kind of the low point for me, but because it's part of a trilogy and Extremis is part of that trilogy, I would have to say Smile was actually the lowest point in the season for me. And the season had, because of that, because I was on such a high with the pilot and then Smile was such a low point for me, the season had to work really hard to get me back, you know? And that's why I probably was a little more negative on Thin Ice and Oxygen, some of the episodes that came after that. But now in retrospect, when I look back on those episodes, I'm like, you know what? Those episodes were actually pretty good. I was probably a little bit more harsh on them than I should have been in the review, but it was because I was still recovering from kind of the low point for me, which was Smile.
Yeah, that's surprising that you put Smile so low. I know, like, our discussion that we had, you were pretty down on the whole Emoji Robot thing. That's surprising.
Yeah, I think the resolution of that episode was a big thing for me. I don't like kind of the one button fixes everything resolutions, and that was very much that type of a story, and it just really, that combined with the Emoji Robots and just really bad acting. You know, to be blunt, some of the side characters they brought in just were really bad actors.
Yeah, they were pretty bad, and that's why at the bottom of my list I have Pyramid at the End of the World. Because of the co-actors or co-stars or however we want to put it, the secondary characters, and not only that, but even just the weird visuals of the plane and the monks and the submarine, and there were just too many not polished things in that episode for me to let that be anything more than the last episode on my list. I mean, Lie of the Land is fairly close in my mind, again, just because it was such an unsatisfactory story arc. Extremis is super high on my list. And really, if they would have just let that one end there and just have it be this really weird episode that had no ending, that maybe they pick up like down the road, cool, that's cool. But because they added these two, and these two were so off, Pyramid at the End of the World is at the bottom for me. Lie of the Land somewhat redeemed itself with the weirdness that was the Doctor and Nardole, but yeah.
What was your top five? Like, what order would you rank the top five?
Yeah, let me pull that up for you. I just need to sort my list. Cool. So if I were to give you my top five, would go World Enough in Time, number one, Pilot, number two, Eaters of Light, number three, The Doctor Falls, number four, and Extremis, number five.
Okay, so Extremis, even though you were not in love with the Monk trilogy, Extremis still made your top five.
It was just that is such a fun introduction. It had so many unique elements to it. It is a solid episode, in my opinion. It just never made it past. Yeah, if it was part of a solid trilogy, it'd be a heck of a lot higher than just five.
Okay, so for me, my top five is The Pilot is number one. Then The Doctor Falls is actually number two. So, the premiere episode and the finale, to me, were the high points, which is a good thing. It means the end, the end caps for the season were the best part for me. Number three, World Enough in Time. Number four, Eaters of Light. And number five, Empress of Mars. So for me, the season ended on such a high note because four of my five top episodes were the last four episodes of the season. So it really ramped up once the Monk trilogy ended and they gave us Empress of Mars. Ironically enough, a Mark Gatiss episode is really what kind of picked it back up for me, and everything was uphill from there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. The final four episodes of the series, I remember because we were coming off of Knock Knock Oxygen, which you weren't too high on either of those at the time. Extremis, it looked like a fun start to something. And then the rug was just ripped out underneath us. But those final four episodes, Empress of Mars, Eaters of Light, World Enough in Time, and The Doctor Falls, that is a solid final four to send us off for the series. That is a strong, strong point. That middle portion, though, Smile, Thin Ice, Knock Knock, and Oxygen, those are middle of the road. Right, they're not great, but they're not sub 500 in my opinion.
Yeah, I think for me, Smile and Thin Ice were kind of the lower end for me. Actually, Knock Knock, I actually liked it. Was kind of the outlier in the early part of the season. But yeah, then oxygen wasn't great either. But we were kind of talking about this pre-show. Like, if you look back at the season as a whole, and you're trying to pull out like that, you know, chicken in the moon or dragon egg or whatever moon thing episode, or you're trying to find the sleep no more. This season didn't have that. It didn't have one of those that was just a complete dud. And for more than there were more positive episodes than there were negative. If you're looking back, I think we're looking at the ratings. I rated only three episodes of the whole season as kind of subpar, and one was kind of middle, and everything else was above middle for me.
Yeah, and I'm on my side. I mean, you're spot on. Like series nine, we had Sleep No More, which that's a gut punch of an episode. Series eight, we had Kill the Moon, which, yes, again, another gut punch of an episode where it's like, oh, what are you doing? This series had none of those. Like as terrible as, in my opinion, Pyramid at the End of the World was, or unsatisfactory as the Lie of the Land was, they're still above those two episodes by far. It was solid overall. And as far as my list goes, I only had two that were subpar, and those are those two. The second half, or the last two of the Monk trilogy, those are my below 500. Everything else is, in my opinion, this is a solid series. I was somewhat surprised as I went back and rethought everything. Well done.
And I think it part of the reason is because it did end so well, and because some of the, you know, you had the vault kind of through line storyline that actually gave us, I wouldn't say that I was completely surprised by what was in the vault, but because of the importance of Missy and how she played into the finale with the Master showing up and all of that, it made some of those earlier episodes, even though they were kind of weak because of that vault storyline that was being seeded early in the season, it tied the whole season together, and it made me look back on the season more favorably because of that. So I thought they did pretty well with kind of the, although it was very individual stories, it kind of still felt like an overarching story arc.
Yeah, I mean, the moral of the story is, if you can't nail the entire series, put the bad episodes first. Then you might lose some watchers, but those that stick around are going to be super high on the show as it draws to a close. That's essentially, I mean, honestly, that's true though, with how solid these four episodes are, it does lift the entire series, in my opinion.
Right. And I mean, if you think about, even on a whole, like the impact of certain things that happened in this series that really impact just the entire, story of Doctor Who. You know, you have Missy, who was supposed to be executed, and the Doctor saves her. And because he saves her, you know, it leads to essentially his own death. So, I mean, it really has a pretty major impact.
Yeah, I mean, Moffat definitely didn't pull any punches on leaving... not leaving the show. He didn't pull any punches on making dramatic changes or having a dramatic impact on the show before he left. He definitely threw a lot of things up against the fan as the show was coming to a close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's so much more that we could say, but perhaps we will get into it at another time. I'm sure we'll have time, a world enough in time, over the summer to discuss a lot more.
Well, like you said, there's probably a lot more we could talk about, but you know, we had the excitement of a new Doctor, you know, kind of at the beginning of the episode, so we didn't have as much time to cover the full season as we typically would have. But that doesn't mean we won't in future episodes kind of refer back and maybe talk about some of these episodes as well.
Yeah, definitely. We have plenty of opportunity going into another off season that thankfully doesn't last a year.
Yes, we have the Christmas special coming, so we're definitely going to be doing some episodes between now and Christmas. We're not going to go offline that long, but we'll have to figure out what exactly we're going to be focusing on. I know you and I had kind of had a few ideas of things that we could talk about. So we'll have to get together and see where we go from here. But we will definitely be coming back earlier than Christmas.
Yeah, and there might even be a live recording of both of us together taking place.
Oh, that's true. This is true. That may be happening.
Stuff will happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Hey, you even read a Doctor Who comic today, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Found an awesome app that lets you check stuff out from your local library. So I got 4 or 5 Doctor Who comics that I'm going to start working my way through.
Cool. So there's Doctor Who comics we could talk about. We have access with BritBox. We have access to classic Doctor stuff. And with the First Doctor making a return, maybe a time to talk about some classic Who as well.
Yeah. There's possibilities. So
lots of potential, lots of things to be excited about right now as a Doctor Who fan. And as they continue to release more information about, the future of Doctor Who, including future companions and all of that, we will be jumping back on the podcast and covering everything as it happens. But until then, for now, I think we're good to wrap up this episode of Bad Wolf Radio.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, as usual, you can find all of our episodes on iTunes. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. If you listen to our podcast and you enjoy it, I'm actually going to ask for you to go over to iTunes and leave us a review. I was looking at our iTunes reviews today, Adam, and we haven't gotten a review in quite a while. although our listenership has risen significantly over the past few months, so I know we're getting new listeners. I know that people are listening to the show. So if you do listen to the show and you haven't had a chance to leave us a review yet, we'd really appreciate some new reviews over at iTunes. So my goal is to get like 3 new reviews before our next episode. So
I feel like we're doing like a pledge-a-thon. Yeah. Anybody want to pledge 3 reviews?
I would say we'll offer you a free Bad Wolf Radio t-shirt, but that would cost us way too much money.
we're just dads here. We don't have money to throw around like that.
But if you're one of our loyal listeners and you haven't left us a review yet, take a few minutes over to iTunes and leave us a nice 5-star review, and we'll really appreciate it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. Search for Bad Wolf Radio. We also have a Facebook group that you can find on Facebook. So check that out. And if you'd like to join us, definitely send us a request to join the group. Instagram at Bad Wolf Radio. And you can always send us an email, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on the Pod Tyrant Network over at Geek Tyrant. So until next time.
Later days!